This is Marcia Savage with Information Security Magazine. Welcome to our special Security 7 podcast. Joining us today are winners of this year's Security 7 Award, which honors innovative security practitioners in seven vertical markets. We have Phil Agquilly of Cox Communications, Brian Engel of Temple Inland, Chris Ibsen of the State of Nevada, Nick Mankovich of Philips Healthcare, and Julie Myers of the University of Rochester. Thank you all for being here today. We're interested in hearing what you have to say about some of the hot topics in information security, so let's get started. Something we've heard a lot about this year after the attacks on Google and other companies was the advanced persistent threat. It's described as targeted attack activity by groups of organized cyber criminals to infiltrate an organization and steal data over time without being detected. What do you think about it? Is it a major threat, or is it something that vendors have overhyped? Phil, do you maybe want to start on this?
Sure. Good afternoon. We know the advanced persistent threat is nothing new as a security industry. I think it's a good term for the biggest problem that security practitioners face today, which is long-term covert penetrations. I think it's a real issue, and I'm happy to see that it has visibility beyond the security industry. I also believe that we each need to assess the threat that we face, how it affects each of us, and then define how to combat the problem, like other issues we face protecting our environments. I think we then need to prioritize the issue relative to our concerns and business priorities, and then go from there.
This is Chris Ibsen. I didn't know if I just chime in here on that, but as this is an area that we're discussing quite a bit in terms of the known versus the unknown component of that risk paradigm. The fact that we may or may not know those perpetrators, how do we respond to that is, I think, the important question. If we know it exists, and I think it was pretty well described that it does exist, and I think it's safe to assume that it does exist, the part that says who is the perpetrator and is it a real risk versus who that perpetrator, I think, is a discussion that often happens and probably shouldn't happen. I think we should assume that if it can happen, that it will be used at some point in time. And as part of that risk paradigm, that's an important concept.
I think vendors also have been using the term a lot. Do you think that they've been kind of hyping it and kind of leading to some misunderstanding about the term?
I'll go ahead and take that. This is Brian Engel. I think that always is the case, if you have something that you can provide technology-wise to help solve a problem, that the vendors will kind of jump in on that and they'll attach themselves to that tagline that is kind of top of mind for everyone at that point. I'm going to echo what Phil had to say on that individually you have to just look at the threats that you have exposed to you, go through your own analysis of what risk that really presents to you, and then understand what you already have in place or what you may need to put in place to mitigate that risk. And it's kind of funny how a product vendor can be your compliance solution one day and then your advanced persistent threat solution the next day, and then whatever is the next buzzword that comes along will be that kind of silver bullet for that. So you really have to understand what it is that you're trying to prevent or detect or do within your own risk paradigm. And I think Chris even mentioned that as well. It all ties together into where do I stand on that and for my organization or individual organizations. And vendors will typically try to find the angle in, which may just be the buzzword of the day.
Yeah, so I'll add again, this is Phil Agquilly, and the challenge here, right, is that much of the APT conversations are being discussed at the classified level. I mean, I have repeatedly over the years have gone back to what our public-private liaison groups, such as InfraGuard, and have said to that leadership, hey, you started this whole InfraGuard because you wanted a public-private relationship between the FBI and the consumer, consumer companies. And at the end of the day, what can you tell us about the advanced persistent threat? And at the end of the day, the unclassified information is irrelevant. So that leaves a lot of, question on what's the actual truth. And frankly, when classified details about a topic and someone states something that's blatantly incorrect, it's difficult to hold your tongue, right, if you have if you have classified approval. On the flip side, if you don't have clearance, you don't know any of the details. Today, all we're hearing is from the vendors, and they possibly could be stating incorrect information and assumptions. You know, and so the challenge is, I think, for all of us, is it better to know and not be able to say anything, or not to know and perpetuate incorrect information? So, you know, my request is for those people that do know and are allowed to, they need to start communicating to the rest of us what we need to do.
Well, I guess let's shift gears a little bit then. Like APT, another major topic this year has been the disintegration of the traditional network perimeter in the face of these targeted attacks. And I've heard this topic raised at some security conferences this year as sort of, you know, how important is the network perimeter today, you know, with these targeted attacks? I mean, do you see that there's still a lot of resources going into hardening the network perimeter, or has that kind of changed a lot over the last 3 or 4 years?
This is Nick Mankiewicz from Philips Healthcare. We sell into businesses, so I'm not directly responsible for the particular infrastructure, but one of the elements that we've seen in healthcare is the change of the network perimeter in some places where there's really been, as a response to the economy, an attempt to flatten networks, to reduce headcount, to reduce complexity. One of the things that's really essential in healthcare is, in fact, that they maintain network perimeters around devices that can't be updated at the same kind of speed that a typical workstation would be in a normal business. Because in healthcare, we have to do a fair amount of testing of every update, whether it's a security update or any kind of update to a piece of equipment. We can never keep up with the kinds of speed that many of my colleagues here on the call would like to see in terms of upgrading equipment, because we really have to do a lot of testing for safety and effectiveness of equipment. So for us in healthcare, actually keeping network perimeters around equipment that is subject to other regulation and therefore can't be updated and made more secure as quickly as the rest of the equipment on the network, this network perimeter is rather crucial to the success and continuation of delivery of care.
This is Julie Myers from the University of Rochester. For us, actually, it's been a very interesting journey, because just within the last year, we've actually tightened our network perimeter around the university. We've, up till recently, have had no perimeter firewall, and basically the freedom of education and the openness of collaboration and community is really what drives a university environment. And many universities are in a very similar form. So we've had to take to certainly hardening our security down at the lowest levels to and closest to the data, and leaving open access and, you know, freedom of flow through many different community types, from alumni to, you know, guests at our hospital to students, you know, and allowing them free flow throughout the network, and really open access to you know, many different areas. So we have worked hard to bring security down to that lowest point and on our network.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I've heard a lot about that as a focus more on data protection and looking at just the data itself, because the intruders may already be in. You know, that's the theory that's out there. What do other people think?
Well, and for a university community, we're teaching students how to be really good computer literate individuals. And, you know, our feeling is they're coming back from classes and testing those skill sets out on our network every day. And so the only way to truly protect our information is to make sure the controls are on those lowest points.
Marcia, this is Chris Ipsen from the state of Nevada. And relevant to that question, I think it is valid to be concentrating more efforts toward the data. I think that the value of the defense increases the closer you get to the data. But I certainly don't see even though the perimeter is becoming diminished, I think the concept of defense in depth is still valid and maybe even more valid today. We need many tiers to catch the problem, and I think that particularly with the introduction of social media and other capabilities that really drive people to want to use technology, we need to have an appropriate response for them using network segments, security zones, and appropriate allocation of resources and segmentation to at least get a at least to get some type of a handle on some of the challenges that are facing us. I know from a state perspective, we shun over a million connections a day. And if the perimeter was not there, those are capabilities that we certainly wouldn't want on our network.
And to follow back up, this is Julie again, we definitely value the same. I mean, we are putting in a defense in depth strategy and have certainly put in a firewall and IPS and all those, you know, defense in depth layers. To make sure, I agree, you know, very much agree with you, to make sure that we've kind of taken every step we possibly can to eliminate any threats.
This is Nick again. I think the evidence of the need for that defense in depth and segmentation occurred certainly in healthcare, where we had seen the pendulum swinging toward less segmentation. And in fact, the Nordic region suffered very, very badly under Conficker. Particularly in Sweden, where about 10% of healthcare was actually down as a result of Conficker because they'd removed network segmentation. That happened in January of 2009. And then in December of 2009, I think 15% of New Zealand was healthcare was taken offline as a result of Conficker, exactly the same scenario where they had leaned toward abandonment of defense in depth and segmentation of their networks. And as a result, the propagation speed was phenomenal. And I'm seeing that pendulum move back the other direction, a little more practical segmentation to really recognize that threat needs to be contained.
Brian, did you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I'll just, I guess, chime in, and everybody's brought up great points. There's absolutely got to still be a perimeter, probably even just multiple perimeters now. If you think about, how do you reach the ability to achieve like PCI compliance if you try to apply that to your entire enterprise? And most of us would say, you know, you couldn't, or you'd run your company broke trying. So you have to draw some lines around whatever it is that you're trying to protect. So, you know, first identifying what it is that that requires the utmost protection and kind of drawing rings around that. Nick had mentioned that, you know, in healthcare he's got systems that you know, he can't patch at the pace that things come out. He can't fix the vulnerabilities. Manufacturing is not a whole lot different. I mean, we've got things they don't make patches for anymore, you know, that you have to isolate in some way. So you end up drawing perimeters around various aspects, and it kind of just depends upon how you value each part of, I guess, your network, your resources, or your data. And applying the protections that you need in each of those areas, and protecting them at the level that they would require, and that can't be to the same degree everywhere. So there's a perimeter or multiple perimeters, and you kind of have to figure out which ones are where, and it's maybe more complicated than it used to be. You don't have a single line, and you can't kind of defend a wall, but you have to understand it deeper and know where the data is actually at that you're trying to protect, or the systems, resources. It may not always be data. It might be the resource itself that is the value to you to accomplish your business.
Thanks very much, and congratulations once again to all of our 2010 Security 7 honorees. For more podcasts, be sure to check out searchsecurity.com/podcast. I'm Marcia Savage. Thanks for listening.